Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, I'm Andrea McLean.
And I'm Nick Feeney.
And together we have had five marriages? Is it five?
Just you or both of us?
Is that both of us?
Yeah,
combined?
We've had five between us. We have four children.
Three divorces so far.
And two dogs.
And it is, as you can hear, it is love, it is laughter, it is friendship. That's what keeps us going.
And pancakes.
You're not going to say golf. It's normally golf.
I'm hungry.
And Netflix. And that's what helps us through, muddling through, attempting to master midlife. So thank you for joining us today. It is just the two of us today.
Special.
It is special. Mm-hmm. Just the two of us. Mm-mm. Is this a midlife thing? Do you know, this? I wasn't even planning to talk about this, but I can remember my parents used to laugh at my grandparents for doing this, and then they started it, and now I've started doing it. Whenever you say something that triggers a memory of a song, you have to burst into song. Like I just said there, just the two of us, and it became just the two of us. Is that a midlife thing?
It is.
Or is it just a me thing?
It's... You do it a lot more than me, but you have a much better singing voice than me. Because if I started doing it, everyone would, oh my God, no.
Oh.
I hum a bit, a little hum. In my head, I sound awesome.
But do I just do it out loud more than you?
Yeah, but you also are really, really good. Like, you in a pub quiz, anything to do with music, like...
Love beat the intro.
You are... All over that.
I get so competitive over Beat the Intro.
But who did we play that with last time? Was it James? Ruby and James, right? On a retreat that we went to. And you blew everyone away.
I did.
But you know random stuff as well, though. I don't know
clever stuff, but I tell you what, a song from the 80s from a Hazel Dean back catalogue or something.
See, who the hell's that?
Hazel Dean! Oh, God, I can't remember what she sang now. It'll come to me. That's the sound of my cogs in my brain trying to work it out. But I don't know any modern music. You know, my last piece of modern music, I think, was Fatboy Slim. Anything by Fatboy Slim. Anything from the 90s, I'm all over it. And then, I don't know, it all came a bit shouty and I sort of lost interest.
But have we digressed?
Oh, no.
No. That's muddling through.
Exactly. But this is what our normal conversations are like. It's normally me hearing something, going off on a tangent, getting very excited about it, and then we kind of get back to where we were.
A bit like a pinball, isn't it?
Do you know, isn't that interesting? Because, yes, I suppose sometimes I am like that when I'm in a good mood and I'm kind of chirpy and sort of like a pinball all over the place. But normally, actually, it's you who's like that because you're like that with work.
Yeah, definitely.
You're like, think of a thousand things at once. I'm like a tanker in that I take a while to get going, but once I get going, I am on course. Nothing will distract me. I will keep going. I don't need to stop for food or rest or water. I will keep going until the job is done. Whereas you're like, bing, 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 bing.
Very much. And I definitely stop for food. Definitely stopping for food.
Do you know what? That leads really nicely into the first thing that I did want to talk about today.
Okay.
So I read this in the papers that apparently a study was done. Who does these studies? Wherever they are, I want to go where they do these studies. It was all about how to make the perfect fish finger sandwich.
Okay. I definitely want to go on that study.
Yeah?
Yeah. Where do we sign up?
I don't know.
How do you make the perfect fish finger sandwich?
I can't remember because I thought they got it wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. By the way, the reason that we even care about this is because one of our go-to snacks is a fish finger sandwich.
Oh. So Tell me whether
Four years.
Yes. Well, just always. Just always.
Absolutely.
Tell me whether you think this was wrong or not. And this is what made me want to talk about it today. I didn't realise that I even cared about how a fish finger sandwich is made. Because clearly, there are a lot more important things in life to be worried about. And then I saw the photograph that was in the papers with it. They used ketchup. That's just wrong. I instantly pulled out my notepad and jotted this down as a hot topic of conversation. Because you can't say you've made a perfect fish finger sandwich and put ketchup in it.
Okay, tell me, how did they make it?
I think they just had bread, butter, fish fingers and ketchup.
That's it.
Poor quality study, that's what I say.
Right, we need to do our own study based on how we make it.
How do you make a perfect fish finger sandwich? Fish finger sandwich.
Chopped iceberg. Fish fingers.
Of the lettuce kind, not the Titanic.
Yes, definitely those, not the wet ones. Right. Salad cream.
What kind of bread?
Wrap or dirty white bread.
Oh, so not like a slightly toasted sourdough?
No.
Really?
We've never had a toasted sourdough fish finger sandwich.
No, we normally stick it in a wrap.
Yeah.
But there we are.
Or the dirty white. You know the white bread that you buy, and then 6 months later, it's still all right in the fridge?
That one.
That one.
Yeah. The one we buy for Amy.
The one we buy for the kids. Not our precious sourdough that we have.
Oh, isn't that funny, though? That is so funny. Okay, so that to you is a perfect fish finger sandwich.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What else is there that you didn't realise you cared about until it gets served to you and it's not quite right? Because I know what my answer is.
Okay.
I was going to make a tumbleweed sound then because you took so long to answer.
Well, it's only because I still appreciate it when you make it for me.
Right.
But so one of our other go-to snacks are or is granola,
yeah,
yogurt, and some berries.
I get it the wrong way around, don't I?
I don't even know what you do sometimes. It comes and it looks like roadkill. Right. It doesn't look pleasant. There is not the right amount of granola and yogurt mix. Right. I'm grateful that you have bought me food, but I'd sometimes wish that I did it myself. I know.
So rude.
Sorry. But that is genuine.
That is genuine.
Because I just have a particular way that I do it.
Okay. Talk me through your particular granola way.
I mean, literally.
You look scared.
Ready? 3 spoons.
Of?
Yogurt.
When? First?
Always first.
No, you don't put the yogurt in first.
Always first. Then the granola. Then the fruit. Be that blueberries, strawberries, raspberries. Maybe a cheeky banana sometimes. Some pumpkin seeds. And some honey.
What madness is this?
It's what I bloody serve you, and you enjoy it. But you just seem to not care and just blah, 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 throw it all in,
no,
chop it all up.
No, it's fruit.
It looks like it's been eaten and then served to me. Okay, let's move on. What's your thing?
Well, no, I'm just going to tell you how I do it. It's fruit first. You chop the fruit up first, put that in. Then you put a dollop of yogurt on top. Then you put a sprinkle of granola and then you put a tiny bit of honey. That's logical. That makes sense.
No, grazie. No.
Okay.
So what's your one? Come on, move on. What's
well,
your
no,
one?
I want to dig a little bit deeper into this.
So I think we've spoken long enough about yogurt and granola.
No, I'm not going to talk about yogurt and granola. I'm going to talk about, so every day, it might sound a little bit boring, but we have the same lunch or brunch or whatever you want to call it, because we eat breakfast quite late, so it becomes brunch. And it's poached eggs on toast.
Mm.
Don't tell me you have an issue with my poached eggs.
No. We're very similar, though, with the poached eggs.
Okay.
So the sourdough has to be
first, just that'd be weird.
But just enough toast.
Yeah.
And the poached eggs have to be runny.
Have to be runny. Oh, is there anything less, more disappointing in life than when you poke an egg and it's hard and nothing runs out?
And they serve it to you in restaurants and it's like a bloody bullet.
It's like a bouncy ball.
Mm.
And it makes me so sad because I'm only going to have, 2 eggs that one time that day, and I looked forward to it and went, I'm sorry, this is so disappointing.
I never realised that we actually got so caught up on our food. Do you think that is a midlife thing, though? You just like the way things are done in a certain way?
I just know how I like things done. I know, oh my.
You like things a certain way.
I've become a curmudgeon. I like the room a certain temperature. I don't like too much noise. I like my eggs done a certain way. You're weird with how you like your granola, but we'll move over that. That's middle age.
We've made it.
Yay! Yay! Right. This is a great time, actually, to move on to the sort of meaty main of what I wanted to talk about today when it's just the two of us.
I see what you did there.
Yeah?
That little food bridge.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Quality. And it was... Again, it was based on some telly that we watched. And I know this is going to be a recurring theme on this podcast because I love a bit of telly.
Well, we did say Netflix.
Yeah, I think this was... No, actually, this wasn't on Netflix. This was on Amazon Prime. And but I watched it by accident because it came up on the screen. And I was like, oh, what's that? Tapped on it. Anyway, I'm not particularly loyal to any particular streaming service, but there we are. And... why I thought this would be a really good topic for today was I ended up watching the whole thing, and it was a film, and it was called You Hurt My Feelings, and it was on Amazon Prime, and it starred Louis Dreyfus? I think she was in Seinfeld, and Tobias Menzies. I had to write their names down because I didn't automatically know who they were. But anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful film called You Hurt My Feelings, and what it's all about is... this lovely, normal married couple, and they're kind of tootling along. And then she discovers that he's been telling her a little white lie about her writing, because what she does, she writes for a living, and he's been pretending that he likes it, and actually he doesn't. And it nearly destroys everything. Their whole world nearly implodes. Now you think, oh, for goodness sake, get over yourself. But actually, you don't realize the bed of lies that every relationship is built on. Because so often we do tell each other little white lies just to, for love and for comfort. We do it to our partners, we do it to our parents, we do it to our children, we do it to our friends all the time. Mm. You know, when someone asks us, and someone we love and care about asks us, you know, do you like my hair? Do I look nice in this dress? What do you think of this idea that I've got for this thing that I'm working on? We tell these little white lies all the time. And I just thought it was a really powerful thing to... and potentially dangerous thing.
I was going to say, I'm getting very nervous here. What are you going to ask me? Because I feel like a little white lie coming on. No, I don't. It wasn't me. You look great.
But don't you think it's interesting, the whole idea?
What, that we tell white lies?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think everything that you said there, it's so true.
You disagree with me because you're scared.
Yeah, a little bit. But we do it, don't we? Yeah, we do it. And we do it definitely for our children. You know, when they're younger. Do you remember? They bring up this absolute abomination of a picture or something. And go, what do you think? It's you. And they go, no, it's not. And you go, oh, it's amazing. It's beautiful, darling. Put it on the fridge. Really? Okay. You sure you don't want it in your room? You know. But so, yeah, I get it.
I thought you were going to talk about something else. I thought you were going to mention, do you remember and I won't say which child it is because I don't want to embarrass them. You can say it if you think it's all right. But when one of the children would come downstairs when they were experimenting with makeup. Come downstairs, and we would just, both of us look like, and it looked like she had two caterpillars for eyebrows crawling across her face. And we would both go, oh, you ready to go then? You look lovely. And we both look at each other like, oh.
Do you know what, though? It's like, I mean, that's prime example. And we don't need to say her name because if she listens,
she knows who she is.
She still talks about that phase herself. That's a prime example of saying a white lie.
For love. You know, absolutely. You don't hurt their feelings.
But also, it's that flourishing stage, isn't it? They're trying to find themselves, work themselves out, experiment and everything like that. You know, I still remember when that certain young lady, one of my lovely daughters, we were on holiday, do you remember? And we went to knock on the door for dinner. And it was like that.
Be careful how you phrase this.
Oh, I don't know how to phrase it other than how I phrased it at the time. Is that fair to... Should I say that?
Maybe tone it down a little bit.
Okay. She looked like a lady of the night.
She did, and she was 15.
Oh, my God. Bless
her. She opened the door, and we both went, ooh, wow. Is that what you're wearing?
But I suppose the question is, is that then right then? Is this why... The whole context of that film that you're talking about is it then questioning whether white lies
is a good thing or a bad thing?
Is a good thing or a bad thing? Because obviously that's us projecting how we feel about
how certain things,
someone looked or how they were or something. It's not for us all the time to just go, actually, no.
Yeah.
Because if they're comfortable and that's their thing, then I don't know, what happened? Well, I didn't watch that film, so...
So when I watched the film, and I found it really interesting as a concept. So obviously, I then went away and did a little bit of research into it in terms of what psychologists would think in terms of our human behaviour and whether it's a good thing or not. And it kind of led me down a really interesting rabbit hole. And it took me to... a report. It was actually a dissertation that was done by a lady called Mary Kaplar, and it's called Lying Happily Ever After: Altruistic White Lies, Positive Illusions and Relationship Satisfaction. Now, what this incredible woman did was she developed something that's called a psychological scale called Lying in Amorous Relationship Scale, and the acronym
just rolls off the tongue. That,
well, the acronym is LIARS. LIARS. Oh. So you see what she did there.
God, she's so smart.
So smart. She deserves her master's and her PhD. And what she discovered, and what is fascinating about this, is my dip into master's of psychology, is how I fully appreciate how much work goes into this. What she discovered was that little lies, even little white lies that are done with all the very best of intent and for good reasons, they actually hurt relationship satisfaction. So bearing in mind, she will have done a scale, I can't remember, there's a word for it, there's a certain psychological scale, not the one that she made, but in terms of where you can measure human reaction. But the scale basically concluded that people should be direct rather than telling a soothing white lie. And the reason for that is, and again, this is what's so interesting, is because lies cause distance. Why
even
is
the
that?
Little ones.
Because even the little ones, even when you say, you look great. I mean, oh my goodness. Send a bunch of psychologists in to work in television. They'd literally be lying down on the floor within a week, curled up in a ball. Because everybody walks around going, oh my God, you look amazing. You look so great. How are you? Everybody's lying. Everybody's lying. It's just one of those things. But when I started thinking about this, from a human behavioral point of view, which, you know, is my real area of interest. Why do we do what we do? Why do we think what we think? And I thought, actually, this makes perfect sense. It's logical, because even when you say something with the truest of intent, or the best of intent, which is, I don't want to hurt your feelings, or I know that if I say the truth about how I feel, it could cause either disconnect or discord. The words coming out your mouth really subtly don't match your body language and don't match the energy that you're giving off. And if you think about it, we are all mammals. We are all balls of energy. And we are, if you understand how one cow and a herd get spooked and suddenly the whole herd picks up on it, there is something so instinctive in our human behavior that we can subliminally, subconsciously pick up on whether somebody is telling the truth or not. And it's not just to do with the whole eye contact thing or looking down to the left or up to the right or whatever it is. We can subconsciously pick up. And what I find so interesting, and this is what I'd really like to unpick with you, is that sometimes even when I ask you a question and you give me a soothing answer, I know you're lying and I appreciate it. Do you know what I mean? If I say to you, oh, but how do I look? And especially if I'm not feeling particularly good in myself, and you say, babe, you look gorgeous. So I just think, Thanks for lying. Even though I know I've looked at myself in the mirror, I'm not blind. You know, if you're having a bad day or whatever. But I appreciate you for loving me enough to say it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm slightly confused now as to whether I should tell the truth or not. Tell the truth now.
Okay.
So, because I also wonder, did you find out that you saying that to me is also a bit of a... So, okay, how do I look? And I say, oh, you look amazing. And yeah. I'm sitting there thinking, wow, not quite tonight, babe. Am I actually protecting myself?
Interesting.
By saying that white lie, giving you what I feel that you need.
Yeah.
But I'm actually protecting myself. Because
yeah.
maybe you said it as we're going out the door or something like that. Now is not the time to go, not really, babe. No.
Well, for many reasons.
Go back upstairs.
Try again.
Try harder.
Yeah, that's a really, really good take on it, actually, because it may not have... I'm picking up from you that, oh, that's so altruistic and he loves me and he's saying that to protect my feelings. But really, he's thinking, for the love of God, we're going to be late. Or I'm not going to tell her how she looks because she's going to have a screaming nanny Rooney fit, as my granny would say. Not that I've ever had a screaming nanny Rooney fit, but you know what I mean? I'll get the ump.
She has.
Only when it was called for. But yeah, you're actually saving yourself. You're not saving me. That's interesting.
But I would also imagine... Save yourself, right? Women and children first. And me. But do you know what? I would imagine that everyone listening to this is sort of racking their brains and all that when they do say these little things.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, most of these psychological points is when you become aware of something, have a curiosity when you start doing them more.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you know this conversation that we just had about white lies, notice when you do it next time and see if it is, actually, no, I am just protecting myself here by saying this white lie, or no, I do actually want them to feel good. But what you're saying, though, either, is actually damaging, did you say?
Yeah, the research found telling someone that you have worked really hard on something when you haven't. So what is that? That's a little white lie. To protect yourself, actually, not to protect them.
Yeah.
It violates the nature of close relationships. So again, yes, what they found was it doesn't hurt relationships that aren't that close. So going back to the television analogy, you look great. It doesn't hurt them because they don't really care whether somebody that you don't, you know, love and isn't in your close circle says you look great because you don't believe them anyway. But if it's someone that you love and is in your trusted circle says it, that's when it causes disharmony.
See, wow. I wonder if this is like the study about the fish finger sandwich and it was as
detailed.
As detailed as that, because if they're now saying that we should be honest with the people that we're closest to.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to work?
Badly. It's going to end very badly, Nick.
Yeah. So can we have a little agreement between ourselves?
Yep.
We okay with a little white lie?
We're good with that. Good. You look great, by the way.
Hey, you look awesome. You smell awesome. What is that?
It's my perfume that you keep nicking.
Oh, it's
that's
me,
a
isn't
whole
it?
Other conversation.
Mm, so good.
Husbands who steal their wives' fragrances, because I happen to like quite manly smells and you just steal all my stuff.
Thank you, though.
Do you know that, again, that leads really nicely on to the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is about, it's kind of linked to honesty, but it's about politeness.
Okay, thank you for lending me your perfume.
Maybe you should call it fragrance.
Okay, fragrance.
Fragrance. Okay, I don't lend it.
That's true, because I'm not giving it back.
Because you take it. You just take it. Okay, did you know that it costs up to £400 a year just to be polite? That's how much you lose in politeness costs.
How?
I love doing research for this. I do. I love it. Where they got that figure from Again, I don't know if it was researchers or whether it was just a random study in a pub while people were eating fish finger sandwiches. You know when you go out to dinner with friends and you split the bill?
Oh, right.
It's that the cost of politeness of going, no, it's fine, just split the bill, even if you haven't had perhaps the wine or you didn't have pudding or that kind of thing. The cost of just going, no, it's fine, to cover up that you don't want to be a tightwad.
Right.
As in, not cover it up, because you genuinely don't want to be a tightwad. That's what it costs you.
Well, do you know what? I think for me, I've experienced a couple of things before, right? I've gone out with some people that literally dissected the bill. And yeah, I didn't have any bread. Yeah, I didn't have that. And I'm like, this is freaking embarrassing and awful. And also you're talking pounds.
Yeah.
Not tens and tens of pounds. So I'm comfortable paying that cost.
Okay, the cost of politeness.
The cost of politeness, because I think if you go out with certain people regularly, a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Is it swings and roundabouts?
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. Mm. And I know you are too.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even see it as a cost of politeness. I see it as a cost of happiness. It's a cost of friendship. It's the cost of bonhomie. It is the cost of just keeping the mood nice. And absolutely, if you meet with friends regularly, it always kind of balances out in the end. And really, there is the I don't know if this is controversial or not, because I know people have different viewpoints on it, but I think it's really deeply unattractive to be the one going, oh no, I had 1.5 bread rolls. I don't know why I'm putting that voice on, but to me that's how they sound.
But we have all met that person that does abuse that system.
What?
That they know that everyone's going to chip in.
Right.
And they order extra.
Oh, so they go the other way.
Oh, so they're going like, right, everyone else is paying. There is one guy I used to go out a lot with in a group. Some of his behaviours around this were terrible.
Tell me more.
Terrible.
Tell me more.
So he would order anything he wanted and everything he wanted.
Even the most expensive thing?
Anything.
Okay.
Anything. Right? And then everyone else is chipping in.
That's just right? Rude.
But also he'd make sure he ate most of it and drunk most of it as well.
So it wasn't
like shared out or anything like that. So then you cotton on to that and you go, okay, that's fine. But it gets worse.
How can it get worse than that?
Oh, no. It took a while, but he was always the one that collected the money for everyone.
Right. Back in the days when we'd all throw cash on the table.
Yeah, but also before service charge. So everyone would go, okay, let's all put X amount of pounds in, blah, 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 right? He'd go and pay the bill, yeah? And he used a tip to pay his bit.
So not only did he not pay, but the waiter or the waitress didn't get a tip?
And thought that we were all tight.
Oh!
How bad is that?
That is bad. That is so bad. I want to name them, but I won't. I know who they are.
You know who they are. I don't even need to say.
You don't. And I picked up on that bad vibe. That's really bad.
That's just...
Because that's not just being rude to yourself.
You talk about deeply unattractive.
Yeah.
That is... And by the way, this person didn't need to act like that.
I know.
You know, I get it. If someone's like struggling and things like that,
No.
Not struggling.
No. And possibly actually the wealthiest person sitting at that table. Possibly. Do you know what? That's nasty, because that's not just, you know, being a bit tight in yourself. That's the person that served you all night has not got what is their due, and that's all kinds of wrong. That's every kind of wrong. It is funny, isn't it? Because that probably doesn't seem like a big deal to them, because it's their behavior and it's what they're used to being. So they might not even, you know, they'll be shrugging their shoulders thinking, well, you know, no biggie. But, you know, my dad is 78 And he still talks about a man who back in the 70s, as in 1970s, kids, who was always the last to the bar. He still talks, he's still outraged by this guy who I think is no longer with us. I don't know why I'm talking in hushed tones because, you know, he's clearly not listening. But he's still outraged by it, that this guy was notorious for the fact that if there's a group of the men going out after work or what have you and they go to the pub, this guy would always sort of hang back and let, okay, so whoever went to the bar first get the first round and all that. And then he'd wait. And then by the time it got to the last round, most people had gone. So then he'd only end up getting maybe himself and one other. And that's just all kinds of wrong. All kinds of wrong.
So again, another guy, when we were younger.
Yeah.
Okay. We'd go to different bars. You wouldn't necessarily spend a huge amount of time in the evening in one bar. So he'd be the first to the bar.
That's nice. Yeah. That's good.
Order his drink.
Oh.
Generally with a chaser. Now and then we'd get a pack of cigarettes as well.
Right.
Because you could buy them from behind the bar.
Yeah. Where would that happen? And smoke them in the bar back then. Yeah.
And then start saying to everyone else, what are you having? What are you having? What are you having? And then walk off.
What do you mean, then walk off?
Then walk off. When the last few drinks are being made. And then the barman's like, right. That's blah, blah, blah.
To whoever's standing there.
To whoever's standing there waiting for the last pint.
I don't understand this. Okay, right, let's unpack this. You're a group, is it all men? Mainly men?
No, mainly.
Couples?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
How was that person still a friend? Because surely after the first time you think, oh, that's quite funny actually, yeah. You know, bit of a stitch up, okay. But the second time, mate, no, you don't do that. That's just rude. Third and fourth, you're out. Why? We're not going to be your friend anymore because that's just wrong.
And maybe that's the cost of politeness.
Oh, you're good.
Because that, we didn't want to... Whilst we said things...
To him or about him?
Him.
To him.
You know, but it was more in a mock. There was never direct.
Right.
It was like skirting round. It got to the point where it went on so long it got very direct.
And he still didn't see it?
You know what you're doing when you do that.
Okay, so he still didn't care?
Yeah, that's it. So, and then you start going, okay, I'm not willing to pay that.
The price.
The polite tax. Anymore.
I like that, the polite tax. That's good. Yeah.
And I bet you everyone listening has got someone that just abuses that politeness. Because as a general rule, like we said, when you're going out with friends and it ebbs and flows, you don't mind that. But when someone comes in and milks it too much, you know, then that's like, no, no. No, no.
That's so bad. That is so bad. I'm just glad we don't go out anymore.
We can't afford.
Oh, that was so good. I really enjoyed it just being the two of us. It's so nice. It's so rare that actually we get to sit down without one of the kids coming in and having a conversation. It's so brilliant. We should have thought of doing a podcast years ago just so that we can chat uninterrupted.
Do you know what does feel weird though? Because we do actually talk a lot at home.
Mm-hmm.
One thing missing.
You haven't sworn once. Is it that?
No.
Oh, what?
It's our little boy, Teddy.
Oh, that's true.
He's normally here, isn't he? Sitting with us.
Should we bring him in next time?
No, well, I don't know if we're allowed. But yeah, that would be super sweet.
Do you know what I want to do next time? Because we're going to wrap it up for this time. But I want to talk about one of our midlife conversations. I want it to be about couples or families who really want to get a dog. And the man of the house is not really for it and kind of goes along with it. And then before you know it, the man of the house is completely in love with the dog, more in love with the dog than anybody else, and behaves so ridiculously like a grandparent towards that dog, giving him treats under the table, letting him break all the little rules that he insisted on putting in place in the blooming first place. I want to talk about that. Will you be here?
Well, you know, if you're going to talk about me, I might as well be here, yeah.
Brilliant, because I think it's something I've heard so many of my friends talk about, that is exactly what happens. Their husband ends up more in love with the dog than he ever was with the kids.
Do you know what the thing is? And clearly, I know we're referring to Teddy because I've had dogs all my years, you know. And when Jackson, poor Jackson, we had to put him down because he was super poorly, it was devastating for us. And we just felt that we didn't have time to have a dog. And that's why I was like, we're not getting a dog. We don't have the time. And I also know that quite a few of the things associated with the dog would fall on my lap, because the children can say whatever they want. They are not doing any of it. Mm-hmm. We know that. Mm-hmm. We have hard data. Right, they don't do that. Mm. And that's why we fostered, wasn't it? That, you know, we started fostering from Battersea, nearly kept every bloody dog they gave us. I'm so glad we didn't. I mean, some of them were crazy. But that's how we then got Teddy.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wouldn't change it for the world. And I know I am a complete nightmare with him. Every other one of my dogs that I was so strict on mm-hmm. is looking down going, what the hell? How is he allowed on a sofa? How is he allowed on a bed? What are you doing feeding him under the table? Yeah, you're having him sit on your lap when you drive. What's going on?
No, that's dangerous.
I did it once, sorry. But yeah, I know.
That's
and it's
so
just
bad.
Like, but it's just my behaviours with him. I am like a granddad.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
But I love him.
Shall we leave that there?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. That's been fun.
I know, I've loved it.
It's been good fun. Really, really good fun. That's it for this time. So join us next time when we attempt to, and fail dismally by the sounds of it, master midlife.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.